The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And you can watch us on Twitch, put your comments on there. Did some good stuff so far, we'll be happy to share it. If you missed the first hour, a lot of baseball and a little Texans. That was pretty much it. And then the return of AJ Hoffman, which was a big
part. I'm back.
And just a couple follow-ups on what we're talking about. Sosa on text line says, another Astros World Series in exchange for losing Deshaun Watson would be a double win. They only win if they only win 4 to 5 games again without Watson, O'Brien will definitely get the boot.
No,
I'm not sure he would. And I'm sure that the excuse would be, well, lost the quarterback. Yeah. That would be it. We got to give him another chance. They were looking so good when he was healthy. But, yeah, I kind of feel like questions like that, I kind of feel like Christian Slater and mobsters. It's like, I don't accept the options. And then, of course, he got the crap beat out of him for saying
that's right.
So maybe I shouldn't do that. People ask if we any comments on the shooting. I don't want to really get into I don't really have anything to say that's going to make a difference.
I don't have anything to say really new. I say this all the time, and I'm a... I know there's people who listen to this show that paint me as a hardcore liberal.
I wouldn't say hardcore, but I would say fairly liberal, yeah.
Socially, I tend to lean a lot of political, or a lot of my political leanings would be liberal, I suppose. But I'm a gun owner. I'm a gun advocate. My question has always been, like, why is anyone against stricter background checks and testing for guns? Why is anyone against that? I'm not saying anybody I like when the gun control debate comes up, it's really weird for me because it seems like there's people who I want to take guns away. I don't want anybody to have any guns. And then there's people, you're not taking my guns away. I think there's like a middle thing where you can say, let's just be more diligent about mental health checks and background checks when we're letting people buy guns. Is that like the worst thing?
Well, the problem is,
like, if it would take heat off of gun owners, you know who doesn't like background checks? People who will fail a background check. And I don't want them to have guns.
You know what? I'd be totally okay with you checking anything in my background you wanted.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, and this is what frustrates me, and this is probably going to piss off everybody, but I don't really care. What bothers me the most is whenever this happens, people start jumping on their political agendas and saying the same stuff. And so I was watching a couple of channels yesterday morning just to see what people would say, and they had Beto on there basically blaming the president's rhetoric for this and saying that, and basically calling him a white supremacist. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing to be talking about when people in your town are suffering. And to his credit, the mayor came on a little bit later from El Paso. And they were asking, and the guy for CNN was trying to get him to talk about, like, what if this were a Muslim? And some just stupid questions that made me want to punch him. And the guy just said, listen, I'm not qualified to answer that.
Yeah.
He handled it really well. So, I mean, first... So on one side, everybody's blaming the president's rhetoric. On the other side, now it's video games and prayer in school?
Yeah.
Are you bleeping kidding me?
Come on.
You know what? How about you guys get together and find some answers and find some real causes? And I got to tell you, anybody who's tweeting about this and saying, oh, this side says this or this side
this
says
this. This will
that,
fix this.
Yeah. I probably saw 2,000 tweets yesterday. I saw one that had any decent thought to it. The rest of them were all just the same dumb crap that we see every single time. And I wish you would all just shut up. I really do. Because nothing you say hasn't been said and nobody's willing to move on it. So until you guys can get together, and I mean our politicians, until you guys can get together and change something and make this a better country, you know what we are? Basically, we're a country where people are going to get shot, and we're just going to have to accept it. Until you people get off your ass.
Well, when you look at like mass shootings over the last couple of years, and you see the stats from every country, and then you see ours, it is pretty ridiculous, and there's got to be something that can be done.
But nothing's going to be done because nothing has. If we didn't do anything after Las Vegas... Do you really think they're going to do anything?
If they didn't do anything after Sandy Hook, at an elementary school, then they're not doing anything. So it's a crazy world we live in. I don't know how it gets any better. I don't have the answers. I'm not qualified for that. Darnell says it's not mental illness this time around. Pretty sane to drive 8 hours and write a 2,300 word letter. Is it though? Is it sane to drive 8 hours to kill Mexicans? I don't know about that. I've got my doubts. But I also don't think that this guy had a Mexican killing video game and was like, you know what? This would be great to do in real life.
I'll be honest with you. I think I kind of feel like anybody who goes and shoots up a group of people for whatever reason, whether it's they don't, in this case, they have something against Mexicans, or whether they're just shooting up a nightclub or whatever, I think there's some kind of mental illness there. I don't think any sane person could do that. And I'm not sure a sane person could commit murder, but, you know, that's...
Well, here's what I will say about it. The fact that, I mean, this guy is clearly a, you know, he's a terrorist.
Right. Let's call it what it is. He's a terrorist.
And B, he's a white nationalist. What I do have a problem with, and this has nothing, I mean, it has nothing to do with Trump unless you want, if you want to make a connection between Trump and white nationalists, go right ahead. But... The social media. If there was a Muslim dude talking about terrorist acts on Twitter, the government would knock on his door. They've started to bite down on it, but like, it's accepted for people to spew racist stuff on Twitter willy nilly, no big deal, and that blows my mind. I do think that it's just somehow socially acceptable. You can be a terrorist if you're a white guy. I don't get that. I think anybody who's you know, exhibiting signs that something like this could happen, there's got to be like an instant check into them.
Yeah, I don't have answers. That's why I wish that the people who could change things would change things instead of, you know, oh, I'm running for president, so I'm going to attack President Trump here. I honestly...
To me, it's not a politics thing.
But they make it a political thing. That's the whole problem.
It is a political thing because gun control is a political thing.
It is. Maybe we need to get away from that term, gun control. I mean, I think maybe we need to look at it as... gun responsibility. Let's have some, you know, maybe that's a little better term.
Maybe that is.
I don't know, but I nothing ever changes. So, and I don't think anything's going to change. So the reality is, you know, we have to accept the fact that this exists in our country and it's going to happen. And either until the people we elect do something to try to stop it and find real solutions. And Dan Patrick, prayer in school, really?
Dan Patrick's a Mormon.
What good?
Don't tell me anything about that.
I do think that the whole everybody sending their thoughts and prayers afterwards thing, stop it. You know what? That does no good. It does no good. And it comes off as phony. So let's stop commenting on this stuff on Twitter other than saying, you know, because we've all had somebody who's been impacted by this. We have two very good friends who were in the Vegas shooting. Everyone's going to know somebody that's been involved in one of these at some point, and until it stops, until something's done, until the people who can do something, then I'm done. I can't do anything.
Here you go. Why do all gun owners have to be inconvenienced because of a few idiots? Well, think about it this way. what was it, 15, 20 years ago, somebody tried to get on an airplane with some explosives in their shoes. One guy did that. And now we all take our shoes off at the airport 20 years later. That is inconvenient. But I have to do it every time I go to the airport just in case. And if it saves one plane from blowing up, okay, cool. If I have to go through an inconvenience to buy a gun, if it takes me a little while to buy a gun, okay, that's fine. It takes me a little while to buy a house.
Or a car.
Yeah.
You got to go. It's so what?
Guess what? When you buy a house, they run your credit. You know, they it's a process.
Yeah, guess what? We're buying a place right now. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You have to go through it if you want the place. Why should this be any different?
Yeah, I don't
why,
see
why
the big
does
deal.
It need to be any different?
And I'm not saying take away. I would never say take away people's guns. I think if you are a responsible gun owner, cool. If you go through the process to get a gun, cool. Own it. That's fine. But I don't think it should be as easy as it is for, especially these dudes, you know, 21-year-old dudes to go and just buy a gun. 19-year-old dudes I've seen buy a gun. One guy was too young to even have a gun in California, and he got one. I don't see what the problem is with background checks. Like I said, I think the people who don't like background checks
wouldn't pass one,
yeah. And I'm okay with that.
I am too. But you know, and there's the age old how much of our freedoms do we give up to protect ourselves thing. I get that, but you know, just because you wouldn't go and do it doesn't mean there's not people out there who are going and doing it,
right?
You know, and I think that's, and if it's just an inconvenience thing, then that's silly. That's just silly. It's inconvenient to own anything in this country.
Yeah.
Except for if you walk in and buy a Gatorade. That's easy.
Yeah.
But anything of value, it's a pain in the ass to go buy something. So
I've been trying
it should be the same thing. There's no difference.
I've been trying to update my passport now for 3 months. 3 months to get a new passport. Okay. That's fine.
As long as you get it ready by England, we're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I mean, nothing is easy anymore. And, you know, my passport doesn't have the ability to shoot someone. So I don't really have a problem with it. And I know guns don't kill people. It's people killing people. I get that. But it's, you know, you can say, oh, I could kill somebody with a knife. You couldn't kill 30 people in a Walmart with a knife before somebody took you down. It's impossible.
I still can't believe... I can't believe that nobody got some of the guns in the store.
What's going on, Texas? Not one guy in a Walmart is going to be the hero?
Oh, and
that guy got taken alive? The guy in Ohio, after he killed the first person, within 30 seconds, he was dead. In Texas, that guy got taken out alive? Come on, Texas. Get your act together. What do you guys need to be carrying out there in El Paso?
Yeah.
Well, so that's a topic we had nothing to talk about on, and we just went 15 minutes, so there you go.
We went over the break. I blame myself for answering the question, but yeah. So, yeah, 15 minutes on something that I can't do anything about.
No.
I have no control over. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, can I just make two more points, and I promise I'm done with
this.
Oh,
boy. Okay.
Well, first off, one texter thanking us for talking about it. Second one, 281-662, you're part of the problem. You're doing exactly what I was talking about. You're not saying anything that 100 other people haven't said on Twitter. Enough. Okay? Enough. Stop blaming Trump for it. And actually, why don't you guys look at what the real problems are and try to fix those instead of let's blame everybody else. And here's the other two things that I saw that really pissed me off. One was these people from out of state tweeting all these photos out of Texans with guns. Like, oh, this is Texas.
That's ridiculous, too. That
is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And you freaking snowflakes from other states who do that stuff, you don't understand anything about this place if that's what you're doing. Believe me, I've lived here my whole life. Yep. Do I see the occasional shotgun in the back of a truck? Yes. How often do I see people out with an open carry law? How often do you see people out and about with their guns openly exposed?
Doesn't happen, really.
No.
I mean,
no.
Every once in a while you see a guy who carries on the outside of his waistband, which...
But, you know, a lot of times those are off-duty cops, too.
Yeah.
I've run into that a couple times.
I have obviously a license to carry, and just my personal belief is I don't want to advertise when I'm carrying a gun. I don't know why
exactly.
People would open carry to begin with. I understand. I mean, I guess it's a law, so it's if you want to do it, you can. It just doesn't make any sense to me why you would carry it. And it also doesn't make any sense to me why you would carry around a hunting rifle on, like, strapped to your back, which there's some weirdos out there who do that. But
I mean, it's such a small number.
It really
of people.
Is.
And for people to come out and say that is just dumb. And then for the president to blame it on the media, that's another one that just enough of that. And no, 662, I'm not in denial. I'm just not going to start shoving political agendas down people's throats on the wake of a tragedy.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean.
And I wish you guys would stop blaming the other side, because that's all you do. And it's frustrating as hell. And it made me get off Twitter finally yesterday. It's like, I'm not even looking at this because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. You know, you guys, oh, well, unless you do this, it's the same spit every time. Come up with something original. And then you know what? All you guys, all you politicians, get your ass in a room and come up with something and come back with any suggestion. I'll take it. Anything. Until then, shut the up.
Mag Daddy says, not familiar with conceal open carry policies, but one local news outlet stated the El Paso Walmart was located in a mall complex and the mall owners didn't allow on their premises, but I agree with you. I don't know. There's a lot of places that'll have a 30-07 that'll be, it's, you're not allowed to carry open in some places.
Right.
30-06
right.
Means you can't.
You can't in a bar. You can't carry open.
Oh, no. Any place that's over 50% alcohol sales or right. Alcohol, at least not package alcohol. Like, you can carry a gun in a liquor store because you're not, there's nobody's drinking there. But if it's a bar or something like that, no. But there's some places who go through the process to say, we'd rather you not have guns in here, which, okay.
There's a lot of buildings downtown that have a sign right out front.
Yep. And there's some, like, the 30-06 means you can't carry, conceal carry in these places. An 07 means you can't open carry, which is all, again, more reason why I don't know why it makes any sense to open carry, because there's more places with that one than the other one. But yeah, I mean, I've never seen that at a Walmart, but what do I know? I don't know. I don't know the details of it, I guess, as far as if people were allowed to be carrying there, but it's surprising for sure.
Yeah. But you know, again, we live in a society where this is just going to keep happening because nobody's going to change anything. And you know, I wish it were different, but it's not. And until people stop blaming the other side of quit making it political and just say, hey, maybe we got a problem here. We need to find a way to make this better, whether whether it is assault rifles or whether it is more background checks. But if it's not, if we're just going to be like this, that's fine. But stop whining every time it happens. If we're just going to accept it, because nothing is getting done, and you know, and blaming everything. But in this case, I mean, come on, Dan Patrick. Prayer in school, really? And then this idiot, I saw this idiot Republican woman talking about blame the gays. And this is the world we live in. We blame everybody except the freaking dude who did it. And you know what? I'm glad this guy lived, because maybe we'll find out what the hell made him do this. And then I hope he gets raped in prison. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's too many of these things happening, and nothing's getting done. And again, the responses that I see are just the same stuff everybody says. None of you are original. Give it up. Go tell your politicians to do something. Other than that,
you done pissing people off today?
I'm really just tired of everybody acting like they have the answer, and it's to blame somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's to blame something that has nothing to do with anything, because that's politically convenient. And it really pissed me off yesterday when Beto's sitting there spouting that stuff. It's like, dude, you know what? I get you're running for president, But to turn this into an attack on Donald Trump is just stupid. This is the problem. And you all do it. Every single one of you, no matter what your politics are. And you follow along like sheep whenever these guys do it. Oh, he's right. He's right. No, he's not. Just tell him, hey, go fix it. We don't care. We don't care who you hate. We don't care about your defense stuff. This is my, but the video game thing, that's the new one. That's a new talking point. Oh, it's video games. Man, bleep you guys. All right, I'm done.
It's mostly NHL video games from what I hear, Fred.
Tell you what, if I can't, I can't win with the Leafs right now, it's very frustrating.
Yeah. So. All right, on a brighter note, let's talk about Carbach for a minute. And if you haven't been out to the restaurant, I highly recommend it. The great thing about the restaurant is they got something for everybody. The menu is very diverse, very dynamic, and very delicious. And everything that they've got on the menu pairs perfectly with one of the fine beverages that they've got on the wall. And a lot of those beers that you can get at Carbach, that's the only place you can get them. You can't go get them in stores. You can't go get them at your local bars. Some of them are in-house only. Carbach, they're open 7 days a week. The restaurant is there. The brunch on the weekends is great. And again, this is a place you could take your wife, your girlfriend. You're taking her out to a nice dinner. There just happens to be beer there, guys. Check it out. They've got a music series. They've got concerts going on all the time. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to find out more about that. Find out more about what beers are coming out and find out what they've got going on at the restaurant. That's Carbach Brewing. Cause we're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legend. G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We'll move on from this because about, I'd say 90% of the comments are good and about 10% are exactly what I said. Hey, man, Lance Erline joins us. Welcome back from God's country.
Yeah, it was good. Canada was great. I was at in Quebec City, which is like baby France, and then Montreal, which has got some French influence as well.
I think
well,
you mean Montreal.
Yeah, it's Montreal. Montreal and Quebec City. But it was good. When Ryan Lachaine, my buddy who's the chef over at Real, who is an amateur. He was an amateur hockey player who, you know, played at a pretty high level as a youth. He used to tell stories about how there's no glass around the, you know, around the stadium where they would play. And he was kind of a turd. Like he'd stir it up. And he said one time some guy just said, you know, you're an a-hole, Lachaine, and he threw a hot coffee on him, was scalding him with hot coffee. He said he had multiple
fights. That was in Canada?
Yeah, in Canada. He said
what the hell?
Was in Winnipeg.
What's wrong with your people, Fred?
I think that's different. Winnipeg is different because, you know, you have to live in Winnipeg.
He said it's hockey, fighting, drinking, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that is more of a Western Canada thing.
Yeah.
And that and curling and getting drunk and fighting over curling. Yeah, it's funny said, though. I love his restaurant. I've never actually met him.
Yeah,
but
go in there. Just tell him you want to meet him, and let me know when you're in there. He's great. He's really accessible. Makes you do shots. While I was there, I brought it up because while I was there, he said, "Hey, you still in QC?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Get me some caribou blood." And I had to stop because I had to think, this is probably a real thing where it's the blood of a caribou. And it turns out it's not. It's whiskey mixed with like a red wine and something else. Like three or four alcohols mixed together. It's called caribou blood. And you're supposed to do shots.
Why don't you just do a Long Island?
It's a shot.
They're very particular about the things that they could get in Canada that they can't get here. Like it's silly. Like, my wife brings back, like, Old Dutch ketchup chips by the box whenever we go because you can't get them here.
Does really? She ever bring back universal health care?
No more politics today. No more politics today. But, like, there's little stuff like Smarties is a candy that you can't get here. Yeah. And every
you can get Smarties here?
No, they're a different thing. They're totally different.
Not the little things that you'd crush up into dust? Those little circle
these
discs?
These are closer to, like, Starburst.
Yeah, that's Molly.
No, Smarties. No.
Oh, I thought you were crushing them up in the dust. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Montreal's a great place to visit.
It was good. Yeah, it was.
What was the weather like?
You know, it was actually unseasonably warm. It was fairly humid and about 85 to 87 in Quebec City, which, you know, when it's humid, that's still pretty hot. But they had these weather warnings like, please get inside, avoid the sun. You know, they were freaking
out. Was it cool at night?
Yeah. Yeah, it cools down. It's still a little humid there, but once the humidity left, it was great. Montreal, it was fantastic. You know, it got down to about 70. It was good. It was good. They're freaking out because they just thought the weather was the best weather of all time. You know,
yeah.
They said, you get 4 months, and then, you know, it's a wild card for about 3 months, and then 5 months are going to for sure be terrible.
Every time I go to the Pacific Northwest, which that's where I just came back from.
Where did you, Seattle or Portland?
Both.
Did you have to fight any homeless people in Portland?
No, there's a lot of homeless people in both those towns, for sure.
Yeah, it's way, way higher to break up a fight between two homeless guys.
But there are, I mean, every time I'm there, I'm like, man, I could live here. And then I go back in the wintertime, and I'm like, oh, I would never live here.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I always say I could live in Chicago, but I've never done a winter there.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Man, I spent a lot of time up there over the last couple of years in the winter because the wife has been working up there a bunch. And maybe it's just because I've been to Saskatchewan in the winter. I didn't find Chicago that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't found it all that bad, but I've only been there, like the most I've been there has been 3 days in a row. And we were there one time when it was in the high 20s. Now, I was in Indianapolis for the combine 3 years ago when it was -1 and windy. And I just thought this is pretty terrible. And that wasn't even a winter vortex where your eyeballs will freeze. So, that 1 and -1 and -10, that's just, I don't know how anyone does that.
Well, what the hell's going on with your Texans? You know, is this Bill O'Brien or just not having a backup plan for a running back? Do they have a plan for anything?
I think they have plans. I think the running back situation is one where they were. I'd like to know exactly what happened with, unless it's come out today, I haven't seen it yet. I'd like to know exactly what happened. I'm going to dig around on Deontay.
You don't have to dig too far. Your buddy in Indianapolis picked him up, so you can call him.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh. He's from Texas City and he knows the family.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a doing a favor because when you look at the Colts depth chart,
it's loaded with running backs.
I don't think, he's fighting with Spencer Ware and Jordan Wilkins for the third running back spot.
Spencer Ware, Jordan Wilkins, Marlon Mack,
and Nyheim Hines.
Nyheim Hines.
I don't even think
some wide receivers.
I don't think Foreman's going to make the team.
No, he may not.
Just like a, hey, we got you for this camp.
It may be.
Come in,
it may
you a
be.
Look.
It may be. He texted and asked me about him, and I told him what I, you know, heard he's not a real high football character guy, kind of a low football character guy. And
kind of would you say a low motor guy?
Yeah, I would say that's
not
the case.
Not the most motivated?
Has had issues keeping his staying in shape. But
and Fred is a better pass protector than he is.
Apparently, that's an issue. But
that's an issue going back to college.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you saw that film.
They may have that was an issue, and that was a surprise. Yeah, that's right. Because I remember really dinging him for that. That was a big
issue.
Because
dude's built like him.
He didn't try.
Or supposed to be good at it. He just didn't care.
He didn't try. I'm just remembering when I wrote him up that was a big concern that he would have to. And then this is what everyone says. Oh, he'll get better. They'll teach that up.
Nah,
That's a want to. That's like somebody who doesn't rebound in college. They're not going to rebound in the pros. Rebounding is a want to skill. That's just not that.
It's like run blocking for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, it's a want to. I mean, there's technique issues you can work on, but when it comes to pass protection against bigger guys, like you got it. There's certain guys that have attitude. Jaquizz Rodgers. He's 5'6", 195 pounds, and he will stand and deliver because he's not
he
wants to. No, yeah. So, for me personally, I was a little disappointed they didn't draft a running back on day three of the draft. I did
like Caron Higdon, and I will say that I had a day three grade on him, and they picked him up as an undrafted free agent. So I guess that's kind of the same thing. He didn't get drafted because he had an injury that was slowing him down. And then they like this running back from Missouri, who I didn't even write up, who they got as an undrafted free agent. So I'm interested to see if either one of those guys make noise. Josh Ferguson, he's not going to be it. They got him there. So it wouldn't shock me, though, if they just keep sniffing around on the waiver wire and pick somebody up who ends up on a roster, because that's one of those positions that you can find street free agents who can step in and make a difference. But I would say next year, now what's happening is next year, running back, possibly tackle, probably cornerback, and probably edge rusher are now all priorities. So now you've just added to your priority list.
It seems like every season it's like, this is an emergency, this is an emergency, yeah. This is an emergency.
And I would say maybe wide receiver, because if Will Fuller doesn't stay healthy, then you can add that to the list too.
Yeah.
I think you can take the if off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Will Fuller gets hurt, you're going to have to be like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know. I don't know what your expectations are for this team this season.
Maybe 8 wins.
That's kind of what I figure too.
It's just too tough a schedule. And I just don't see them getting through it.
Do you think that not having a GM is already starting to maybe be a problem?
Well, this is the time where GMs, so pro personnel directors and GMs, they have a pretty good pro personnel director there who came over from the Jets. So we'll see how he's going to – really, I think they may lean on him quite a bit to be the GM. I mean, to handle the GM role, which is scouring the other – you know, he's really going to have to – I think O'Brien is going to obviously be in charge of whoever is going to make the 53. What they've got to be doing right now, and what's very, very important, and I know what Ballard in Indianapolis and John Dorsey in Cleveland and – a lot of teams are really good about knowing exactly who is on every team and studying the crap out of them. And as soon as they get cut, they will make a claim on them and pick them up, because you got to be ready to tighten up your 40 through 53. So that last 13 to 15 on your roster, that should be those, you know, a lot of times those should be fluid depending on who's out there on the waiver wire. And somebody else's waiver has a chance to be your, you know, better player, especially if you can coach him up or if you recognize talent that wasn't out there, or maybe a team's trying to sneak a player through. That's another thing. So we'll see. The Texans under Rick Smith and Brian Gain, when he was the pro personnel director, they were pretty good at picking guys up off the street and finding help. But it wasn't always off the waiver wire, like guys who were just waived. It was more, oh, crap, we need a safety on week 4. And then they'd go find one, and those guys usually played fairly well. But this is even more important, to find guys in the preseason so that you can reshape your roster on the move. That will be interesting, because that's a free agent. I mean, that's a real general manager that does that. You can't do that if you're head coach. You can't be watching other teams' free agents. I mean, other teams' players, third-string running backs. You know, it's not possible.
And on the other side of the coin, the Astros did about everything that they could have.
But
I mean,
isn't that really what it is now? The Texans. So I had somebody from another market ask me, "What's the buzz on the?" This is a radio guy. I said, "What's the buzz on the Texans? Is it really heating up?" I said, "No, it's not really heating up." And I think and he said, "Why not?" They won 11 games last year. I said, "It's not about the wins. It's about the other two teams who are busy making plays." And really, when you get right down to it, it's the Astros saying, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. And not only was it supposed to look like this in 17, but this is what it's supposed to look like in 19. John and I were talking about how it's like we're cheering for the Yankees. For the first time in my life, I'm cheering for a team that looks like they're clearly the most talented, you know, top 15 players on a roster. You could argue, maybe clearly is not fair, but it's right there. And they've done it through, I mean, they've done it just through good management. They've done it through good drafting, good development. You know, Brent Strom is a developer. Jeff Leno is an evaluator. And then Jim Crane has done a great job of understanding the process and being a big part of that when it came to, you know, to spending money at the right time. And you look at the Texans, and they couldn't be further from that. There's really, you know, they've had some hits, but when it comes to a sustained period of excellence, you can't find it in their histories, in the organization's history. And that's not really an opinion. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to get excited about the Texans when the Rockets Daryl Morey keeps finding ways to keep doors open for championship runs or, you know, or competitive runs.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's not put the Rockets in the same basket as the Astros either. I don't think they're in the same basket as the Texans.
They're not in the same basket
with
the Texans.
But there's three different baskets, and the Astros are in a completely different basket.
But that's true. But the Astros also got to tank and pick up high draft picks. And the Rockets, Les Alexander said, I don't want to tank. We got to just keep.
I wouldn't have a problem if they did.
No, I don't think Daryl Morey would have had a problem if they did either. But he was told this is what we're doing, and so he did it. And then the ability to keep winning 50 a season or 50 or more and make the playoffs all but one year, I mean, that's pretty good in today's day and age of not being able to get lottery picks. I mean, they just haven't had lottery picks. So I give them credit for what they've done. They've just done it a different way than the Astros. But I feel like, you know, I think we all agree. It feels like the Rockets are getting really old, and this is you hope this is a year that they can I don't know. I don't know what else Daryl can do because they're starting to really get capped out, so I don't know what he's going to do. As far as the Astros, here are moves where you know Greinke's got at least a couple more years. Verlander is – you guys looked at his numbers? 153 innings and 95 hits?
Yeah, it's absurd.
I mean, over 200 strikes. This is bananas.
Remember right
I think
before
80
the,
of them are home runs.
Yeah, well, remember right before the All-Star break when it's, he's giving up a lot of home runs. You think he might be slowing down? No.
Well, we 29 talked about, of 95 hits have been home runs.
Well, we talked about is this Greinke move basically signals the end of the Gerrit Cole thing.
I would say
I don't think there's any way they have three guys that are making that much money in their starting rotation. And I was telling Fred at the beginning of the show, I mean, if they sign Gerrit Cole, then what? Do you give George Springer 20-something million too? Do you give Carlos Correa 20-something million?
If you sign Cole, you basically – you know, Correa is going to be the odd man out for sure. And I would say one of the other ones might be as well. So
I mean, Springer's coming up, and
yeah, maybe
they were so protective of Kyle Tucker.
I know it's worth noting. You know, you've got Forrest Whitley still on the roster. I mean, still in the minor league, so maybe he's your next big arm. They certainly hope so. This hasn't been the year, but Tucker is a guy that they refuse to part with. And you see Yordan. I mean, if you have four major hitters in a lineup at any time, you've definitely got a shot.
Yeah.
Well, the Astros have
Bregman
Altuve,
locked up long
Bregman,
term.
Yordan,
all three of those guys locked
Springer,
up long term.
Correa, Gurriel. I mean, they've got six major hitters, so they're already way ahead of the pace.
Well, let me just throw this out there about Cole before you guys just dismiss it. They could re-sign him. I mean, Verlander and Greinke are under contract through 2021, right? So
it's 23. It's going to be 26 million. The Astros are responsible for with Greinke over the 26
right,
and a half.
Right, which is
per year.
Yeah,
you know,
frankly, not bad.
No,
but if you're going to sign a long term deal for Cole, I mean, those guys are coming off the books in 2 years, and yeah, then you have to sign some of these other guys. But you can't hit 2 years there where you're paying everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. That's why I'm not really willing to dismiss Cole as much as everybody else.
That is interesting if you knew for a fact Verlander was done.
Well, and he may not be.
Greinke is done.
But, well, are you going to pay him once he's 38 or whatever?
Well, that's the thing. Those guys are going to be 38 and 37 respectively. I don't think you're bringing them both back at that point.
No. You wouldn't think so, but I also didn't think Verlander would be a Cy Young front runner right now.
No, but I think he's going to continue to pitch well. But at that point, you can make a decision. Do I want to re-sign Verlander to go with Cole, or do I want to re-sign Greinke to go with Cole? You'll have an option. Whoever's and the truth is, one of them's going to break down by then. They're too old.
Probably.
So, I mean, I think it wouldn't be impossible to spend the money. The question is, will he want to come back? And if so, you know.
Well, the question then becomes, will you take less money to play here in Houston than he'll get somewhere else? Because someone will offer him the most money, and it won't be Houston.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that anymore. I mean, last year it took forever for those guys to get those kind of deals. I think the Astros can be competitive with their offer if they want to be.
It's all up to Crane.
Yeah, it's up to Crane.
I mean, I guess they could have been competitive with their offer to Charlie Morton, but they weren't.
Well,
Charlie Morton is also a guy that they weren't.
They had a value. They had a particular value on him, and Charlie.
Were they wrong?
Charlie wasn't, but Charlie wasn't Gerrit Cole. I don't know if they were wrong at the time.
I mean, Charlie's Gerrit Cole right now.
I know, but it's more than a 1 year contract, and so I think it's easy to say that. But if they had Charlie and they paid him that money, they might not have felt like they had the money to go out and go get Zach Greinke. So. I don't know. I wanted to see Charlie back. I also went back and looked at the game log just to refresh my opinion of him. And I'm like, okay. I mean, he did have ups and downs. I mean, yeah. Charlie Morton, that's the thing. When Charlie didn't have it, he wasn't going to have it. He didn't get it back. When Charlie had it, he was dominant. He was a really good number two. So that was a hard one. You hated seeing him go. But at the same time, at the end of the day, did it matter? They ended up with Greinke.
Yeah, it worked out.
So I think it's really about, is the owner, Drayton was a buffoon to me by the end. I mean, a buffoon. Just complete.
The end?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the buffoonery started.
Well, it started it started way, way sooner. But, you know, I give him credit for, he had a team that did some things. But, boy, it was less, like after that World Series where they got swept, kind of in an embarrassing fashion. They had no bats. And then after the season was over, he didn't even think about adding anyone to that team. And you knew that team was completely impotent offensively, and he refused to do anything. And that was a pretty sure sign. I mean, Jerry Hunsicker out of town. Well, here's a guy, Jim Crane, who played baseball, who understands baseball, and who I mentioned this on Twitter. I don't know if you guys, AJ, you would have been in Austin. No, you were here. 2000, when Jim Crane bought the Astros?
I was here.
You were here. You remember how mad? I don't know if you remember
people were pissed
at Jim Crane when he came in because he wasn't spending money on, you know, $10 million a year on a number three who would have had to have been a number one. Like, he didn't care about winning 74 games.
Right.
Or competing to win 70 games. He didn't care. And then you had the Comcast deal, which pissed everyone off, too, which, you know, was beyond his control.
But nobody's going to remember that now.
No, no one remembers it. But boy, there were some people who were really mad at Jim Crane for not spending money. Well,
just go on record as saying there was an awful lot of people who said, "Well, let's take him at his word." And he says when they need to spend money, he will. I'm pretty sure Granato was that way about it. I know Jerome was that way about it. I know we were that way about it. So
I was that way. I was with Charlie, I think, at the time.
I can't remember where you were at the time.
But, yeah, I was with Charlie, I think, and we'd get a lot of calls and people were really, really frustrated because they just felt like, why isn't he spending money in free agency? And you know why? Because he wants to lose, dope. He's trying to tank and get good players. That's why. He's trying to get Alex Bregman.
That's right. All right, that's Lance Zierlein here. I'm on the bench. 7 to 9.
30.
9:30-ish.
Catch you guys a little bit every morning.
Boy.
Dropping the wife off at work.
You are rubbing off on us because blew through our break.
Oh, man.
Combiners. We do this in the morning. We combine.
Oh, I know. Tell the people about Texas Star Grill.
Let me tell you about Texas Star Grill. So I've been talking about Texas Star Grill since I think the first time I started was 2010. It was just...
That's not the grill that you burned that brisket on, right?
I didn't burn a brisket. It's a Memphis, and I had, which actually has the probe that you can put the probe in. And I went to now the problem I did have was that I didn't cut enough of the fat cap off of the top. There was I should have trimmed it a little bit better. So regardless, they do make these things make it really, really easy. You're going to get to the internal temperature that you're looking for. And Texas Star Grill Shop, this has become the official spot for those of you who love barbecue. If you want to make great barbecue, they're the spot. They've got this great rub. You got to ask them about it that actually creates a phenomenal bark on your briskets, and it's charcoal, it's activated charcoal, it's great. But I want to tell you about the grill that I started with that I still recommend to people, and that's the Traeger. And the Traeger is now offering a D2 second generation wood pellet grill that is a game changer. Don't buy the out of date versions that are at the other stores. Get the latest and the greatest from Texas Star Grill Shop. And they've got a big sale going on right now on the Big Green Egg as well, featuring packages of the large egg at $8.99 and the XL Big Green Egg at only $11.99. All of your grills, no matter what you're looking for, your wood and even steaks and seasonings and every amenity you can imagine are right there at Texas Star Grill Shop. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com, located at 2045 Southwest Freeway at Houston or 8905 Luetta in Spring, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN.
97.5.